Hearing none, I'll close the public hearing, and I need a motion.
I'll move to approve second reading of ordinance number 965 with amendments, and to move to a third reading with a held on August 27th, 2019.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion, second. Discussion.
Madam Mayor, would you like me to talk about some of the changes that were made between the last version and this version?
Yes, and to address Mrs. Sargent's two concerns.
Certainly. So the first change is under Section A, Establishment, where the term source was taken out of rate stabilization. But I actually don't know why that word was in there to begin with, so it was struck. The second changes are in offset amount, where some different terminology was used. Instead of just saying any period where diesel fuel is used, we changed that to diesel fuel is used to generate power. It's just better terminology. And the main change there is where I say the assembly shall consider the total, the actual additional cost to the borough during any period diesel fuel is used to generate power. That's the main change, rather than just saying the costs for additional diesel fuel, because what we really have to take into consideration in an offset amount is the total cost to the borough, because that's what is, it's overtime, it's oil, it's diesel fuel. And our code really just speaks to diesel fuel. And so there are likely some changes that are going to need to be made in that section of the code, it's another area of section 15.12 that speaks to diesel runs that we have and the excess charges that are paid for diesel runs.
And that's where they give the formula.
That's where they give
correct.
The formula, exactly.
Yeah. And there is no formula here.
Correct.
And we did discuss that, I know, because it kind of bugged me that we didn't have a formula. But so, I think this first year, I think we could probably do without a formula and see, as Mrs. Sargent suggested, get some historical.
Right. So if I may speak to her first point, what is a sufficient level? I agree that it is much, perhaps it is a much better course of action to set a target amount that is in code, and if that ends up not being enough, then the assembly can pass an ordinance, another ordinance, or can amend the code via ordinance that goes through another public hearing to change that amount. To speak about levels, Mrs. Sargent mentioned, isn't $250,000 enough? Well, the roughly 6 weeks of diesel run that we did earlier this year was more than $500,000. So to offset that amount so that there isn't any change to the ratepayers, we'd have to have well more than $500,000 in the reserve account to be able to accommodate that. And although we haven't had to do that yet, if for some reason we should have to do more than one substantive diesel run in a year, if weather patterns continue to be warmer like this, well then we could be spending $1 million a year in excess overtime and oil and diesel fuel to do a couple of diesel runs. So I think there's value in the assembly discussing here if you'd like to set a target rate for that fund and move toward that and put that in the ordinance as a starting place, or if you would like it to remain a little bit squishier. I know that's not a good term, and that doesn't leave a lot of comfort with the ratepayers who say, well, when is enough enough? When are you going to take the surcharge off? Or is it just really a rate increase that you're pretending is a surcharge? The protection here, not that this makes you feel any better, or the public feel any better about paying more, but the protection here is that the money from this is actually going into a different fund. It's not going into the electric fund. It's going so that it could be used for general operations. It's going into a rate stabilization fund that may only be used to help offset the cost of diesel generation for the ratepayers. And the use of money coming out of that fund has to be passed by resolution. And even though that's not two readings, it's only one, there's still a public process for that, that the community can come in and say, well, there's $1 million in this fund. Why aren't you offsetting more of this diesel run instead of less? So there's a public process there. So there are some safeguards in for that money, rather than the public having to worry about it just going into the electric fund and us using it for anything we want when we want to. That absolutely can't happen. With regard to the ongoing funding, there is concern that if we were to have, let's say, a very bad year or a very bad couple of years, and let's say we had an issue like we did in, what was it, in 2008, where the cost of diesel went up to $150 a barrel, and we had to do a diesel run, then if the assembly had already set the rate by July 31 and didn't have a mechanism to be able to change the surcharge to deal with those changing circumstances, it may not be enough to sustain the fund if we ended up having to do a substantive diesel run. Now, those are all, you know, could those perfect storm occurrences happen? Who knows? But it's not a bad idea to have a contingency plan in here, and perhaps it could be written a little bit clearer than it is, so that the assembly can't just say, okay, well, in July we want the surcharge to be this, in August we want it to be this, in September we want it to be this. And I will also tell you that the finance director specifically told me early on, please do one a year or not very many, because doing this on the bills is very difficult to reset rates on a regular basis. So not only for transparency purposes with the public, the ratepayers, but also for operational concerns, as few rate changes as possible in a year for a surcharge is best.
When I requested that we may amend it throughout the year, I was thinking about a refinery going offline, like that it happened just a couple months ago on the East Coast, right. And diesel prices went sky high. Right. So I feel comfortable that is in there, and I'd like it to stay in.
I could potentially look at something that is a little bit better written, rather than just something that allows it to be changed so easily. I don't know. I certainly.
Assembly Member Decker.
I thought Mrs. Sargent's points were really good, and I'm wondering if a simple addition to the beginning of that sentence. I think we're looking at the sentence that says the assembly may amend the surcharge by subsequent resolutions within the same fiscal year. So I don't know if this is too strict, but in the case of an emergency declaration, the assembly may, or something that shows that it's an abnormal thing. And I'm not sure what the correct wording would be there, but because I agree, I think for the public, and for our staff, changing it more than once a year is crazy. But if some emergency happens, you want that flexibility, even though we could go change the ordinance if there was an emergency.
Yeah, we could have an emergency ordinance, and we could go that route. What's your comfort level? Assembly Member DeLong?
I just, think being transparent in the whole process is important. So more meeting with the public and getting clear verbiage is important.
I would think on the utility bill, it would be clearly labeled.
Yes, of course.
Surcharge,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Rate stabilization surcharge, yes. Yes. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Assembly Member Decker?
Well, I actually wanted to go back to the other points. Let's finish this topic.
Okay. Assembly Member Morrison?
As long as we always have the ability to go back in and change it by ordinance, I don't really see where there's a real problem with, letting the public know that that's what's happening and why it's happened if it's an emergency.
The nice thing with ordinance is it takes two readings.
Right.
Well, an emergency ordinance would not take two readings, correct?
Right. What I was going to say, an emergency ordinance, it can be passed in one,
right.
But just because they have to go on diesels or if we have to go, that's not an emergency.
That
would not constitute an emergency.
Okay.
So, I'm sorry. Still on this point,
yes.
Madam Mayor.
Section E.
So I understand the vein in which Assemblymember Decker is suggesting language, restrictive language at the beginning of that sentence. The in case of an emergency declaration, I don't think will work because we don't want to have to declare a local emergency here if the price of fuel goes up someplace that is in Alaska is impacting us. But we certainly want to reserve the right for the Assembly to take action without having undue restrictions if something significant happens with regard to the cost of a steel run. So let me see if I can put some precursor language on that sentence that gets everybody to a more comfortable place, if that's okay.
Assemblymember Decker?
My only thing is, if we strip that sentence, I mean, we can always change the ordinance if something came up, right? So, I don't know.
We can, but you have to do 10 days public notice mm-hmm. for the public hearing.
And two readings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Two readings. So we could call a special meeting with 48 hours notice to do the first reading, and we could call a special meeting for a second reading as well, but in no case could it be more than less than 10 days after the first meeting.
It's not like our plant wouldn't be running. It's just a collection of fees. So it's not like, you know what I mean? It's like somebody's dying or the town's without power. We're just talking about mm-hmm. setting the rate.
Correct.
So, I think that scenario would work. If something really unforeseen where, okay, our fund that we had collected is going to be dry and, we're going to be dipping into reserves. Okay, we need to address it. And we hadn't foreseen it coming when we had set the rate at July 31st. We could go back and check it.
Assemblymember Powell?
What, we're not going to add to the fund. If this fund deplenishes out, then the taxpayer or the ratepayers are going to pay just what we were if we didn't have the fund. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
So why are we going to go into an emergency anything to add to this fund? I'm kind of confused here.
To increase the rate.
Decrease.
The way I understand is this fund is for, say we didn't have a diesel run for 2 years. Right. And I agree that the fund has to be capped. Okay, so I also know that we've had diesel runs for maintenance and all that stuff. We have to have somewhere that we can figure out what it costs a week to have a diesel run. Okay, so $750,000, I don't know, $500,000. But when that $500,000 is gone, then my rate's going to go up. That's just the bottom line. That's why I don't understand why we're talking about emergency increasing rates and everything. It's just this fund is to help us if we do have a diesel run, okay, and then when it's gone, you and you guys are going to pay the higher rate. Just the bottom line. I don't understand where we're trying to get to add to the fund. Am I correct?
It's Assemblymember Decker.
So I think the issue is, do we address the rate of charging customers for this fund, we change that rate once a year and just say we're just going to change it once a year? Or do we allow ourselves to go in and mess with it more often?
As circumstances arise. Assemblymember Decker.
Powell, but that's okay. I'm confused. If we set this rate in July, okay, at any given time, why would we increase the rate at all, ever? This fund is, once it gets to $500,000, say that's our cap, it's $500,000. We go on a diesel run, 6 weeks. That $500,000 is gone. Now, if we have another 2-week diesel run, the fund is depleted. We're going to try to get it come back, but if we have diesel run after diesel run, it's just going to go to the ratepayers. You're not going to increase our. I'm kind of confused why we're going to go July 1st. Oh, we got to have an increase, and then September 2nd we're going to have another increase. Why? I'm confused.
Now, Madam Mayor.
Yes.
I have to agree with Assembly Member Powell, and the reason that I say that is the fund, the way that this is set up is that the borough is going to make an initial deposit of $250,000, and then we're going to grow the fund over a period of time with this surcharge, but it's going to be small increments of growth. So if there is something in the market that changes or fluctuates, we can increase the surcharge rate if we want to, but the impact to the fund is going to be negligible unless we're looking at it over the long haul because of, unless we were to do massive rate increases, which we're not going to do. That's not what this is designed for. So I think he's right. Using this as a mechanism to respond to market forces or circumstances isn't going to get us where the fund needs to be, because it's designed for the long haul. The growth of the fund by the resident surcharge. I think he's right.
Okay. Well, it could aid in maintaining a certain level of the fund. But if it's causing heartburn, is it the Assembly's wish to remove that last sentence? Do we need it?
It ain't going to hurt anything that happened there. I think you can have the public come back and go, well, if the fund has money in it, why are we raising anything? That's what the fund is designed to do, is to take away from the fund to stabilize the rate.
Right.
And as the rate stabilizes, if say the fund goes down to $100,000 and now we're all plush and we got lots of rain and we got lots of power, in 2 or 3 years the fund's going to come back up and it's going to cover our normal maintenance. I thought this is what we were really talking about, was also normal maintenance costs too for when we do diesel runs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for when we do diesel runs.
Exactly.
So
I'm hoping that the way when we had our meetings, thought about this was that our normal diesel runs were not going to cost the ratepayers any more money than they're paying right now today.
So, Assembly Member Decker?
I think the only reason we'd be going back to look at increases is if the fund was completely depleted because we had an unknown diesel run, or the cost of the diesel run was like way more than we had projected. And that's what we don't know. While we can look back on past, things are changing into the future, which is why we're looking at doing this. So that's only gives us like limited information.
Okay.
So if we put $250,000 in there and then we're growing it, in one diesel run we could be down to zero.
Yep.
So at that point, then that's kind of what I think we're saying.
Well, two things. The offset won't be 100%, so we're not contemplating that. And when I first suggested this, I was under the impression that 6 week diesel run that we had cost $100,000 in oil alone, and now I know that it's only about $36,000. Is that correct? So that's what got my attention, and that's why I suggested that we have some flexibility. Assembly Member Powell.
Is this rate ever, this surcharge that we have on there, the only time that it ever is going to go away is if we cap it. Am I correct?
If we cap it, or let's say we go a number of years
without,
we cap it, yes, and if we go a number of years without having a diesel run and that money's just sitting there, there's no reason to do a surcharge.
Exactly. Yeah. So as the rate comes, as that plunges down, that rate's still going to be going up the other side. And hopefully it stabilizes somewhere. That's right. That's why we're calling it a stabilization fund. Is hopefully it stabilizes. That's why if it is $500,000 to do all this, we should be at least $250,000, half again as much.
I would think $750,000 or $1 million is a reasonable.
Exactly, because then when you take $300,000 or $400,000 out of it, it still has money in it in case of an emergency where you have stabilization. And that fund is always growing until we get to a cap.
Right.
Okay. I don't see any reason to take that out of there, though. I mean, because it's really not, it's irrelevant.
It's just an extra insurance for us.
Okay.
The rest of the assembly agree? All right. Do we want to discuss the limit? Do we want to establish a limit, or do we have enough information to do that? Assembly Member Powell.
I would like to see a little bit more information to see what the limit might be. I agree that we should have a limit, because say if something does happen, we don't ever have a limit, and this thing grows to $2 or $3 million. What that all that is
a slush
is,
fund.
Yes, yeah. Right. A slush fund.
Yeah, that's unnecessary savings. So I'm just going on our most recent run that we had.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we're spending $500,000 in 6 weeks, I think that's I think having a fund that is, like I said, $750,000 or $1 million is not an unreasonable goal. But we can certainly provide more financial data if you would like.
Assembly Member Powell?
I'm going to go back to what this is designed to do. Is what I thought it was designed to do was to help us with diesel runs that are normal. Okay, right?
And the emergency.
And emergency.
And so if you have an 8-week emergency fund or an 8-week diesel run, I'm sorry, or 10-week, this fund is going to be gone instantly. Okay, so.
Madam Mayor, may I interrupt you? I'm sorry, Assembly Member. The offset amount that the Assembly can approve doesn't have to be the full amount.
Okay.
So let's say the cost of the diesel run increases the electric rate by 10 cents a kilowatt hour for that run. I'm just making stuff up. The Assembly has the ability to say there's only $500,000 in the fund. The full diesel run, you know, for this month has cost X amount. Because we only have this much in the fund, we're only going to offset by 5 cents to the ratepayer instead of 10 cents.
Okay.
So we're not depleting the fund. That is one of the things that you take into consideration. You may be only able to offset 2 cents in the beginning for a diesel run, just because the fund is at its infancy and doesn't have a lot of money in it.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the offset amount will be established by resolution.
Correct.
After a diesel run.
That's correct. So that is one of the, I don't want to jump too fast, but that's one of the things primarily that we need to talk about here.
Okay. All right. We're going to establish a rate limit or a fund limit when we get more information.
Do you want more information?
I do.
Okay. So we'll put, in the next reading, we will come back with a section that's added. Or an area that's added that has a cap, and we'll have financial information that backs up a recommendation for what that amount should be. Okay?
All right.
Let me just make some notes here.
And then you wanted to talk, Borough Manager, about the establishing the offset amount?
So, right. So the code in another section of Chapter 15 states that any additional costs that the ratepayers have to pay because of a diesel run is supposed to be added to the current billing cycle when a diesel run happened in the previous billing cycle. So if you see the language here, the second sentence under D, offset amount, that I added, it says, such resolution shall be passed prior to the current billing period in which diesel fuel was used in the previous billing cycle. That's language I took directly out of another section of the code, and I'm concerned about that. I put that in because that's what the other section of the code says, but I'm concerned about that because that requires the Assembly to act very quickly with response to setting an offset amount. And so I'm wondering if maybe rather than amending this new ordinance to meet the existing code, do we want to change the language that is in the existing code to give us a break in between billing cycles? So let's say we have to do a diesel run in May. the charges that would normally go to the ratepayers are supposed to be on the billing cycle in April for May's diesel run. Now that's easy if you have, you know, like a 1 week scheduled maintenance run or a 2 week scheduled run, but that doesn't necessarily give the assembly enough time based on meeting schedules to set an offset amount if you want to do that. So should we actually have a break so that if you have a diesel run, let's say in May, that the offset amount, the charge, the up charge to the ratepayers and any offset time goes on the bill in, goes on the bill like 2 months later instead of the next month. Oh, yeah.